All right, so we first need to spend a little bit of time on one topic that I didn't get to last week, where we talked about issues of ribbis and nachrim, non-Jews. So I'm not going to go back over all the nachri items. You can catch the audio from last time for review. We ended up saying, yes, it's mutter, and yes, it's aser to lend money for interest with non-Jews and to borrow from them. That's basically a good answer. And we dealt with mumer a little bit at the end, and we said, yes, that may be an issue also. So we have a lot of clarity resulting from all of this. And that leads us to one more issue for which we'll have great clarity, which is the issue of banks which have Jewish and non-Jewish investors, shareholders, directors. So the problem that's involved here is, am I allowed to take a loan from, or for that matter, lend money to, an institution which has Jewish stakeholders? This comes up in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch as one of the earliest to address this. And I gave you the source on the sheet. This is the sheet that's still from last time, the one that starts with the number 10. And no, I'll read that one. So source Lamed Tes, look at what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch has to say. He says, Ma'osav shel Yisrael mufkadim biyad ovei kochavim. A Jew's money in the hands of a non-Jew who is holding it and managing it, behilba osam li Yisrael beribis, and he lends it to Jews for interest. If it's under the responsibility of the non-Jew, meaning meaning that if anything happens to it, if the debt is lost, then he's going to have to make it up. So that's fine. We're good with that because then it's really his. It's his investment that he's doing. But if it's not under the non-Jew's responsibility, then you're not allowed to do this because it's really a loan from a Jew to a Jew passing through a non-Jew's hands only as an agent. So where you have allotments of funds or amounts of funds, kupot chischun, which I think is a savings account. Chisachon, yeah. And the Jews have portions there. They have some kind of a hold. Yeah. So again, picking up from where we were a moment ago, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch's objection is that this is a Jew's money that is simply passing through the hands of a non-Jew, but the non-Jew doesn't own it. So he says, in the event that there are Jewish investors in this, people who have given their money that's now going to be lent out, and Jews are going to be borrowing from there, you can see in Source Lamed Tes, Mikomakom Nira Li the Isser Gomer Hu. He says, it appears to me this is entirely prohibited. You're not allowed to deposit money into there because maybe it will be lent to a Yisrael who's going to take the loan, and you wouldn't be allowed to take a loan from there because maybe the money is being given by a Jew to this into this bank, into this institution. That's Kitzur Shulchan Aruch's objection. Now, there's a whole other discussion which we're not going to have, which is the discussion about incorporation. What's the status of a corporation? Meaning, if you have a bunch of Jews who have put money into a corporation, and then that corporation is what's going to extend the loan, maybe you can argue that the corporation is a separate entity and that the individual shareholders and stakeholders don't count. And that's a discussion that we've hinted at off and on in the Ribbis discussion. It's a discussion that comes up in many areas of halacha, mechiras, chametz. The most famous one, right, the issue of if I own shares in a company that owns chametz, do I have to sell those shares before Pesach, right? All these issues are interesting issues, but not part of the discussion right now because then that will be the entire shear and then some. So right now we're pretending that incorporation is not an issue. We're just going to ignore that. And the question is, can a group of Jews get together, put money into one of these banks, and lend that out to Jews for interest? So is there any way to get around the fact that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, yeah, I think this is Isser Gomer, this is entirely prohibited? So there are a few arguments in favor of allowing this. The most creative and the most fun argument, hands down, is the Chikrei Leib's argument, without like any doubt. He's the best. And it comes off of source Mem, Gemara in Chulin Kuf Lamed Hayamid Aleph. the Gemara there is talking about a different issue, the issue of Reishis Hageis, right? The first wool has to be given to the Kohen. So it says, Be'emas Hashutz B'mchayav Reishis Hageis, the animal owned by partners, you have to separate Reishis Hageis from it. So the first wool, even if the animal is not owned by me alone, but let's say I own it along with Jeffrey, nonetheless we have to separate Reishis Hageis. Rabbi Eloi says, no, you don't have to. My time with Rabbi Eloi. What's Rabbi Eloi's rationale? Just because I have a partnership with Jeffrey, now we don't have to give the wool to the Kohen. We're going to cheat Adam out of all of his wool. So, Amar Krab, but the Torah says, Sonecha, your sheep, singular, not Sonchem, but Sonecha, Velo Shel Shutfus, not if it's owned by partners. V'Rabbanan, to which the Rabbanan will reply, No, L'me'ute Shutfus Ovekochavim. Sonecha is meant to say yours, a Jew's sheep, as opposed to if it's owned in partnership with a non-Jew, then there is no issue of Reishis Hageis. V'Rabbi Eloi Shutfus Ovekochavim Menale. How does Rabbi Eloi know to exclude where it's owned in partnership with a non-Jew? Apparently he needs a separate limud. Nafkalim Reishis Dekra, because the beginning of the same pasuk says Reishis Deganacha. It's talking about Truma, the first of your grain. Velo Shutfus Ovekochavim. So that excludes the non-Jew. So the Chikrei Lev looks at this and he says to himself, Deganacha excludes where the grain is owned in partnership with a non-Jew. Soncha excludes where the sheep is owned in a partnership with a non-Jew. Well, you know, the pasuk regarding ribis says, Es kaspicha lo sitein. You shouldn't give your kasef for a loan. Well, maybe that excludes non-Jews. I brought you a tiny paragraph out of pages and pages and pages in the Chikrei Lev, in Source Mem Aleph. And he has other discussions beyond this point. But a lot of it is really spent on this. Ksiv, es kaspecha lo sitein lo b'neshech u'marbis lo sitein ochlecha. He says, v'chol dechsiv l'nochach b'lashon yachid. If it's written directly in the... In the singular, your, it's second person, but your money, singular, it doesn't say, don't give the money, it says, don't give your money. It means that ribis is only an issue if it's your money personally and not if it's in tandem with a non-Jew. You have to ask yourself, is that really true every time you see the second person singular used? That means only if it's yours and not owned in partnership with a non-Jew. And then he goes on, this is from a much later part of the piece, he says, If someone might suggest to you that you're not allowed to invent drushos, like, I don't know, Mari Kolon, Ze'eno. He says, it ain't so. D'hacha mashmos mikoach yisur havi. He says, what we're doing here is actually what the pasuk itself says by having the extra letter, the extra word, by saying kaspecha. This is exactly what the pasuk means. It's not a drasha. This is the translation of the sentence. V'gam, he says, and also, v'losha b'nei adam yishlavikin. This is the way people talk. V'ezek ishar drashos. This isn't really a drasha. This is what the pasuk is actually explicitly telling you. That's the way that he takes it. It's brilliant. That's the way he takes it. It's not a new drasha at all. The Maram Shik in Yeredeya Kufnun Ches, the Marsham in Aleph Chaf, say no. This is a violation of the rules regarding new drashos. The Abiya Omer has a piece, which I referenced for you in Source Mem Beis, where he discusses this in terms of what the rules are for making new drushos, and can you really get away with something like this? It's really fascinating. No one else wants to rely on this as an idea, but yeah, it would blow up everything we do with ribis. Right? You could now say, all I have to do is, if I want to lend Corey, you know, $1,000 and have him pay me ribis, all I have to do is go to some non-Jew and say to him, listen, could you contribute a dollar to this fund? And I'll say, it's like we own this together, and that way we can lend it, and I'll give him a little portion of the, of the returns. And that's it. The laws of ribis are now done. Right? I don't need to worry about heteris. I don't need to worry about making it into a fine for late payment. I don't know. All the other ways of dealing with this. This is the easy. But yet no one is willing to really rely on this. Another argument that's brought to make the bank method okay is to argue this is ribis via shaliach. We saw this from a Rashi/Rashba back on Ayin Amud Aleph. It was quoted in the Ramah, which I brought you in Source Mem Gimel. I think because I had to lose those several minutes. I'm not going to do the sources inside for this section, just to make this go a little quicker. But you can see them here on the page. I brought you the Ramah. He said that ribis via shaliach is okay. Where do you get that idea? Because we have a rule, Ein Shaliach Lidvar Avera. What Ein Shaliach Lidvar Avera means is, if I say to Jay, go ahead and do that thing that you're not allowed to do, and Jay goes ahead and does it, he's considered to be acting for himself. He's not acting on my behalf. I can't make him my agent for this purpose. There are only a couple of areas in halacha, me'ilah, truma, where you could actually have somebody act on your behalf to do something that he's not supposed to do. The only a couple of cases in which you could have somebody do something on your behalf that he's not supposed to do. Sorry?
That he's
mechayiv you. Correct. Normally this isn't supposed to. Normally this doesn't work. So the argument goes that that's actually what's happening. What's happening here? That's what's happening in this. That's what's happening here is the agent of the bank, the non-Jew who's actually carrying this out, is the one who is the non-Jewish agent is the one who's extending the loan. He is not really the shaliach of the Jews who run the bank. To which the Bris Yehuda says in Perek Lamed Ha'ara Mem Gimel, he says, no, Ein Shlech L'Dvar Avera is a rule when you're dealing with a Jewish shaliach. The Rama writes in the Darkei Moshe in Kuf Samaches, Kuf Samachtes, if Gimel, specifically, Ein Shlech L'Dvar Avera does not work if it's a non-Jewish shaliach. Now it's just the Jew's money, and the Jew is going out and doing something he can't do with it. Further, he says, what are you talking about, shaliach? The documents on the loan are in the names of the creditors. The documents on the loan don't mention the non-Jewish agent. It's the creditor whose name is on the malva whose name is on the loan. And the Rama writes explicitly in Kuf Samach Tezayin that doesn't work. So that's another reason why this doesn't work. A third potential way to do it, though, is the Marsham. The Marsham writes in Aleph Chaf that you could argue kol de parish meruba parish. Realistically, if the majority of the money in the bank comes from non-Jewish depositors, then you could say that whatever money comes out for this particular loan to a Jew is coming from the majority of the money. That's an argument that's made. Yeah, Adam. No. No, you don't. And in fact, the arguments against it are, we don't say this. We don't really believe that you can do that. So they don't bring Bata B'Shishim on the money, but the Shvilei David, that's my next point, the Shvilei David argues that the Isser is Bata L'Rov. Which is really a weird idea, because there's no Isser on the money in the mixture. The Isser is only when you actually lend it out. But he argues the Isser is Batal Baroth. I find that to be a very difficult argument, and I don't have a Shvilei David. I only saw him quoted. That's why he's not on the source sheet. You could also, the last argument that's brought, is the show. Yeah.
How is the Isser
Batal Baroth? No, not in the case that I suggested, in the general case. The general bank case. Yeah, that we started with. You weren't here yet. Sorry?
Theoretically, you can say then what's the problem with an only Jewish partnership, because every Jew's share is Batal Barov against everyone else's share.
No, because it's the Isser that's being Batal Barov, and the Isser is on all of the money. The Isser is on Jews' money to be lent to a... Yeah. It's the same Avera. It's the same Isser. Right? Yeah. Then that money is mutter to be lent to a Jew. So therefore, we say that whatever small percentage of this could not be lent to a Jew, right? Is Batel in the greater thing? I have a really hard time with it, and I didn't see it in the Shvilei David. I only saw it quoted. That's the least of our problems.
And isn't the answer on the person, not on the money?
I mean, this is such a difficult idea that I don't want to defend it. It's a Shvilei David in Rechaim Tav Mem Ches, and in Yerodea Kuf Samaches Kuf Samaches Yiv Gimel. If you find the Shvilei David and want to look it up, he's quoted in the Bris Yehuda. Like I said, he's quoted in the Bris Yehuda. Perek Lamed Ha'or Mem Gimel. The last of the Heterim that's brought is the Shaul Umeshiv's approach. Shaul Umeshiv Aleph. It's Madura Aleph. It's in Gimel Lamed Aleph. He argues Brera. which is sort of along the lines of what we did with Kol Deparsh Meruva Parish, but better. And it's the idea that you could argue that the money that is lent to the Jew came from the non-Jewish partner. The money that is lent to the Jew, that money, retroactively, we say, came from the non-Jewish... I mean, money is fungible. It doesn't make a difference here, and especially today, where it's just a number on a statement. So you'll say, the $1,000 you lent to him, that was part of the non-Jew's multi-thousand-dollar investment. That's where it came from. To which the Lechem Apanim on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, what are you talking about? Don't you know the rule? There is no brera when you're dealing with a de'oraisa. To which the Shaul Umeshiv responds, quoting Tosus in Tzmur, Lamed Amad Aleph, V'idach, to show there is brera for the Oraisa if the Isser only begins after the mixture is created. The Isser here only begins after the mixture is created. Yes, this is against the Shmilei David, but so is everything else that we've discussed. The fund is created. Now the money is going to be lent. You're not allowed to lend that to the Jew. So fine, but I'll say Breira, and it's really from the non-Jew's contribution. The Bris Yehuda notes that Acharonim really don't like this. There's a lot to say about the Breira discussion in particular.
How do you deal with the fact, though, that the prophet, at the end of the year, the Jew's going to get his share of that?
So, I think the argument would have to be that the profit goes into the pool, and you're getting the profit from your loans and not the other way. But it's a good question. Like, how do you ensure that? Right. At bottom, after all of this argument, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is really not happy. The Binyan Sion, Samachay, doesn't like it if you're talking about Ribbis Kitsutsa. The Bris Yehuda in Lamed Tes Zion, and the Taras Rivis in Perak Yud Zion, Si'ifim Samach Dalet and Samach Hay, they list many poskim who will allow this if the bank is majority non-Jewish owned. And then they have a discussion about majority means number of shareholders or amount of money that they control within it. However, it's important to recognize that even those who are matir are not happy about it. So the Minchas Yitzchak, Gimel, Aleph, he also has a later tshuva, and Vav, Ayin, Zayin, the Bris Yehuda, they say the heterim on this tend to be a limud chus. It tends to be like, okay, Jews are doing this, and how could we understand this to not be violating the law? Rav Reisman, in chapter 5, paragraph 26, and in footnote 45 on page 104, quotes the Mishnas Ribbis, who quotes Moshe Feinstein, to say that if a minority shareholder is Jewish and has enough of a hold that he can influence management decisions, you really shouldn't do this. So Rabbi Reisman himself, on pages 300 to 305 in Laws of Ribbis, has a way for Jews to partner with non-Jews and write up a partnership agreement which states that all loans to Jews will come from the non-Jews part of the business and with a whole bunch of conditions which are going to have to deal with the revenue sharing as well.
And everything else. What about the losses?
Sorry?
What about the losses?
And the losses as well. I mean, everything is going to have to be accounted for. If you're going to do this for real, you know, I mean, his way is the best way to do it, assuming that you're really, you know, following the instructions. Because then you say, okay, fine. You know, we're working together because of economies of scale or because, you know, we have a name, whatever it is that makes this advantageous for us. And it's just a matter of making sure that each loan is going to be distributed in a proper way. This is the Green Book, Rabbi Reisman. Where is it? It's down there. Yisrael, I think, is the first name. Yeah. Not Rabbi T. Reisman from a shir on clean meat. That's a different one. And is this the same one who does the shir? It is the same one who does the nachshon. Okay. Okay. That's fine. Okay. So that's our wrap-up of that particular issue.